Moncrief on News Talk.
Paul Kearns is an Irish journalist who lives in Tel Aviv and has two Jewish Israeli daughters, which puts him in an unusual position. He's very aware of how much the world disapproves of the Israeli assault on Gaza and now Lebanon, but he also worries about how this disapproval will be expressed towards his daughters. Paul was writing about this in yesterday's Irish Times. Afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Sean.
You've been, as I understand it, you've been living there since 2018, though you've been a regular visitor there since 2020 or thereabouts. In that period of time, has, if you like, the tone changed in Israel, between Israel and the countries that surround it?
I came in around 2018 full-time. I guess, the biggest political story around 2 years ago, before the war, so to speak, was the election of the right-wing government, the Netanyahu. So in 2023, the country had... it was quite a volatile period. There was a big opposition to the government, and there was, tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people on the street in opposition to the right-wing government and its agenda. But I have to say, during those demonstrations, the Palestinian issue, the occupation, was not a topic that people were on the streets about.
Yeah. Why was that? And what, if you like, superseded it in importance in people's minds?
I guess after the failure, going back a little bit, of 2008, of the offer of a two-state solution from the previous prime minister, going back a couple, Ehud Olmert, that the whole Palestinian peace process just evaporated, it collapsed. And so Israelis, I think, for the best part of a decade or more, effectively ignored the occupation. It was a perception of just, the policy for most parties was just to manage it. And so the oddest thing, they had about four elections in a row, and it wasn't an issue at the forefront of any election. So when a very far right government came to power in 2023, after an election in 2022, the issue was about, the reform of the government and undermining the court process, etc. And it was, there was fierce divisions between left and right in Israel. But it, as I said, the Palestinian issue was not part of that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I suppose the reason I ask is that, when October the 7th happened, that didn't happen, I suppose, in isolation. Israel had always felt under threat to a lesser or greater degree, rockets were always being lobbed in. So the way most ordinary Israelis feel, I imagine, after October the 7th, does have a link with how they felt before October the 7th.
It's a good question. I think, since October the 7th, or the events of October the 7th, have fundamentally changed Israel for the foreseeable future. There was many of my friends on the left after the morning of October the 7th and the stories that, came to the public and everybody in the world heard about, their views changed. So the left, I guess the left in Israel has been pretty weak in the last decade and a half when we're talking about the Palestinian issue. But since October the 7th, it's just utterly collapsed. There's no sense, I feel, among Israelis that there's any belief in a two-state solution. And, it triggered, historical trauma. 1,500 or 1,200 Jews been murdered that day. You're right. Rockets did occasionally come in from Gaza, and there was occasional wars with Gaza, Hamas and Israel, but nothing on this scale, obviously.
Yeah. So I suppose we outside Israel, maybe people don't appreciate how much of a sense of threat most Israelis feel at the moment. Do most Israelis, do you think, feel that this is an existential threat?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a few issues. The sheer size of the country, I mean, the width of the country proper is 15 kilometres wide. It's the country is the size of Leinster. There's a sense, and the distances are tiny, like Gaza to Tel Aviv is 50 kilometers away, and Lebanon is not much further. So there is a sense of threat from every direction, but particularly obviously the Iranian one, in terms of what could happen there and what obviously did happen a few weeks ago with the attack on central Israel and Tel Aviv. And also, I guess, let's be honest, the comments in the past of the supreme leader in Iran about destroying Israel, the cancer of the Middle East, he called it.
Yeah. And now, at the same time, are you aware of perhaps what people, and you did allude to this in your piece in the Irish Times yesterday, that on Israeli TV screens, they're perhaps not seeing what we're seeing on our TV screens in terms of what's happening in Gaza?
They're absolutely not. I mean, I can say that confidently. What the rest of the world sees, what Irish audiences see, the horrific images nightly of, you know, dying children, dead children, the impact of IDF bombing, etc. It's not shown on Israeli TV. They show the war in a slightly sanitized version. At best, they show some clips of destroyed buildings. But they have this bizarre thing of showing aerial attacks from the IDF in black and white from above, as if it's some sort of video game. So the horrific images that the rest of the world sees, Israelis simply don't. Now, there's potentially many reasons for that. And, you know, speaking to many journalists here, and there might be a perception outside that it's censorship. I don't think that's true. These TV stations are both private and public, and there's actually no difference between what they show. Some people believe it could be just the conscious decision of editors who champion the war to, you know, they're avoid showing the worst aspects of the impact of Israeli war. There's also a view that it undermines the morale of the soldiers or the family of the soldiers. I mean, there's tens of thousands of reservists. Every Jewish kid in Israel becomes a soldier practically. So there's a sense that it might undermine the morale of the country. It's also probably a coping mechanism, you know, the need to look away, a kind of collective denial, so to speak. I guess Israel would be the first country in the world to collectively deny abuses in its own country in that sense. But some journalists have told me that it's simply a ratings war, which might sound shocking to hear, but and in the past, when they showed some horrific images from the 2014 war, people called in and they were irate at what was being shown. And there's three main channels and they're in competition.
So what is the coverage like then? Because I assume it's extensive and it's analysed. So what do they talk about?
It's, you know, a version of the news or news channel or news discussion begins, you know, 5 or 6 in the evening and finishes it after 9 or half 9. So you have wall-to-wall, you know, panel discussions about everything. I mean, they have diverse voices, you know, on the panels from the left to the far right. And they talk about the war in the context almost no differently than anywhere else. You know, impact on the world, the impact on Israel. Obviously, the personal stories of October the 7th, they're told every day. They're told every day for the last year. The deaths of soldiers and the destruction is discussed, but the images, the horrific images, simply aren't.
Now, at the same time, like you did allude to it there, that there's reaction from international reaction to this, that there's obviously a lot of countries would be extremely critical of what's going on in Gaza, and I suppose now in Lebanon. And like, I assume there's an awareness of that, but is the interpretation of it differently to what it might be from, if you like, an Irish point of view or any other country's point of view?
There is an awareness of it, but that awareness, you know, as I said in the article, there's no one Israeli. So there's an awareness of it, but it depends, you know, who you're talking to and how they interpret that. Is also different. So there will be, you know, articles in the main newspapers about the implications of Israel becoming a pariah state. Those articles are written. And, you know, the main sort of paper of record, Haaretz, is pretty left-wing. But, you know, they filter a lot of what's happening and interpret it from abroad through a different lens for a number of reasons. Well, first of all, they're at war. And the country is small. And I think there's this perceptible difference between how people feel about the war in Gaza and the war with Hezbollah in Lebanon. I do sense that in relation to the war with Hezbollah, that notwithstanding the deaths and horrific imageries you see from Beirut, etc., that Hezbollah has been firing rockets and killing Israelis for a year, and Israel has no territorial dispute with Lebanon. Mm. So they perceive that as simply an attack on the country. Obviously, they filter Gaza, the Palestinian issue, the occupation, October the 7th, the horror of Gaza, differently.
And that possibility of Israel becoming a pariah state, you live there, your home is there now, you have two little girls. That must be a worry to you, that you're the father of two Israeli citizens who maybe will encounter these kind of attitudes when they're older.
Well, absolutely. It's a conversation over dinner every evening. Do we stay? What are the factors that might make us leave? What would the reception be to, it'll always be young Israeli girls, Jewish Israeli girls if we move to Ireland. I'm in touch with the Israeli community in Ireland, and it's not pleasant at the moment for many, and many want to leave. And you could say, you know, this is understandable, the reaction to the horror of what has happened, what is happening in Gaza. But there is a strong sense that people can't, you know, they can't separate an individual who might have a very different political perspective on Israel and the war and the actions of the Israeli state or the government. And then they lump all Israelis together. So when I was saying about the demonization of Israelis, Israelis are a group. And, you know, it's a very complex country with a very diverse political opinion. The left or the center just happens to lose elections a lot.
Also, daily life at the moment, when you have children, and like, how often do air raid sirens go off?
Lately, every couple of days, and you know, and you don't know when. And you know, the impact can differ. The Iranian attack a few weeks ago was certainly, you know, scary in terms of the interception of rockets over the city and the sounds of explosions. You don't know where you will be when they go off, obviously. And you don't know where the children will be. Obviously, if they're in school, you might feel they're safe in school because the schools have better bomb shelters, but they could be on the street. So daily life, it's hard to explain. Daily life is absolutely normal 1 minute, and then everybody running to bomb shelters with explosions above your head the next minute. So you're literally grabbing the kids to get down to the shelter, you know, in a state of panic. And 20 minutes later, it's what's for dinner?
Do you think you will stay?
You know, it's $1 million question at the moment. It's very hard to know. As I say, it's a daily conversation. And obviously, their future is the most important factor in this decision. And beyond the horror of what is happening, and Israel as a pariah state and the dangers of rockets and the dangers of war, the country is changing and has changed in the last decade or so. The demographics of the country make it inevitable that a religious right-wing government, I think anyhow, a religious right-wing government will be in power. Without going into the nitty-gritty of Israeli demographics, but, you know, religious Haredim, you know, they were 2% of the population a few decades ago, now they're 15. I think in kindergartens, they say one in every four child is from a religious Haredim. Now, not all Haredim have extreme right-wing views, but the country is changing. The image that people had, the better image that people had of Israel in the 70s as atheists is kind of, you know, secular, high-tech nation, it is a high-tech nation. It's changing. It's become religious. Arguably, it's becoming like every other country in the Middle East.
Well, Paul, I hope you and your family stay safe. Paul Kearns is a journalist based in Tel Aviv. Paul, thanks a million.
Thanks, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.